He ordered a series of assaults against Johnston's position at Kennesaw Mountain. And again, this is a very strong position. It's a mountain that looms up over the battlefield in a way that should give pause, you would think, looking at it, to anyone who was considering launching attacks. Part of the equation was that Sherman feared his men were getting used to entrenching, too used to entrenching. He thought that perhaps they had forgotten that they were the army on the aggressive. He wanted his men to have an offensive spirit, to know that they were taking the war to the enemy. Perhaps they were losing that edge, he thought, and assaults might remind them, said Sherman, that they were the aggressors, that this was their campaign to take to the rebels. Well, Johnston was ready for Sherman, and his army easily repulsed the Union attacks at Kennesaw Mountain. 3,000 Federals and about 600 rebels fell in the fighting at the Battle of Kennesaw Mountain. Now, these aren't heavy losses compared to what was going on in Virginia at the same time, as we'll see in our next lecture. They weren't heavy losses compared to earlier battles in the West. It's nothing like Chickamauga. It's nothing like Stones River, nothing like Shiloh. But it was enough fighting to satisfy Sherman, it seemed. He was willing to get back to maneuvering. Perhaps he thought this was enough blood to remind his men that they were on the aggressive. But whatever reason, this spasm of fighting at Kennesaw Mountain seemed to be enough for Sherman. And back they went to maneuvering. Two more flanking moves forced Johnston to fall back across the Chattahoochee River into the defenses of Atlanta. Second week of July, 1864, July 9th and 10th. The Chattahoochee, many Confederates believed, should have been a great barrier to Sherman's progress. It's a major river. It was a river, it seemed, that the Confederates could have used to good advantage, but Sherman quite adeptly rendered it a neutral factor, and Joe Johnston gave up that line essentially without a fight. The fact that Johnston had retreated pretty much consistently without a really big battle, and Kennesaw Mountain did not qualify as a major battle, as I said, those facts left many in the Confederacy, both politicians and civilians behind the lines, and many even in Johnston's army, with a sense that Johnston was giving up too much territory too easily. And this kind of behavior seemed to fit a pattern of Johnston's military career to many of his critics especially. He'd given up a great deal of ground during the Peninsula Campaign in 1862, retreating almost into Richmond before he launched his attacks at Seven Pines or Fair Oaks. It seemed to others that he'd given up a good deal of ground in Mississippi in 1863. We've seen that Jefferson Davis was very upset with Johnston in Mississippi for not doing more to save the army at Vicksburg. I think that was an unfair criticism. But this is part of a pattern of critics in the Confederacy believing that Johnston wasn't really doing a good job. A number of diaries and letters from the time describe him as a retreater, an arch retreater, a man who would retreat and retreat and retreat until there was simply nowhere else to retreat to. And all the time doing this without putting up a real fight. Fighting caused casualties, but the predominant feeling among the Confederate people through most of the war was that they wanted their armies to fight. Wanted to have a sense that their armies were taking the war to the enemy. Johnston did not seem to be doing that during the Atlanta campaign. Here he was. He had allowed himself to be driven all the way to Atlanta. There hadn't been a great cataclysmic battle. Something seemed to be wrong. The Confederate cabinet voted to remove Joseph Johnston from command. Both Hardee and Hood, Johnston's principal subordinates, also supported the move. Now, Leonidas Polk might have supported that. We don't know, because Polk had been killed on June 14th at Pine Mountain. No one knows how he would have voted, but the other two senior subordinates said, move Johnston aside. Bring in someone else who will fight. In mid-July, Jefferson Davis asked Johnston what his plans were. How are you going to save Atlanta? What are you going to do? What are your long-term plans? And Johnston gave one of his usual evasive replies, so vague that it infuriated Jefferson Davis. Again, very typical of Johnston not to keep Davis well informed. The two men loathed one another, as we've seen before. Their hatreds, their animosities going all the way back to when Johnston was not made the senior field commander in the Confederacy when he was put behind Robert E. Lee, put behind Albert Sidney Johnston. He never got over that. That rankled for the rest of his life, really, and poisoned his relations with Davis. Many other actions contributed to that.